It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for joining me once again for It's a Good Life. Well, it is a good life, and in fact, the Christian life is the best life. It's the great life. If you've been saved for any length of time, you know this is true. If you haven't been saved, let me invite you to do so today. Listen to the program today and listen to some of these verses that we'll be going through. And I pray that before this lesson is over with, this message is over with, that you will trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Well, the Christian life is the best life, and one of the things that we have in John 14:1 is something like, it says this, "Let not your heart be troubled." This is for the saved person. Jesus is speaking to those people who have trusted him as Savior. If you're going through a difficult time, let not your heart be troubled, Christian. God is still on the throne, and we can sit around and wring our hands and say, "What's going to happen next?" Well, the thing that I'm looking for to happen next is the return of my Savior in the clouds, when he comes back and says, "Come up hither," and he receives me up in the clouds to be with him forever. Well, it's true that before he comes back for me in what we call the rapture of the church, it may be that I'm taken before then, that my body will die, but either way, I'm going to be with the Lord. So I have nothing to be concerned about. Let not your heart be troubled. It doesn't make any difference what this world can do or say to us as saved people. We have the knowledge of knowing that God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, has given us peace. He's given us the best life that anybody could ever want in this world. Well, today I'm going to speak to you for the next few minutes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. And, of course, we'll be looking at some other scriptures as well, but that would be our primary scripture for the day. Well, let me remind you to look at our website today, lrwm.org. And on that website, you can actually listen to this program again through the website. And also, there's another website that you could go to. It's agoodliferadio.com. I'll say it again. It's just like I'm saying it. It's agoodliferadio.com. Just write those letters in there and go to that website, and you'll be able to download this program and other programs of It's a Good Life. You'll also be able to find some Bible study helps there as well. Now, at the end of the program, you'll be given those websites again, and I would trust that you would go there and look around and see what is on the website, and both of those websites. Well, in Isaiah 55, let's look at a few verses. And once again, our time is short, but God can speak to our hearts through his word today. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 1, it says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." Well, the day and time that we're living in right now, there's some empty shelves around in our country because of supply chain or whatever it is that's going on. We're seeing things that they've become scarce. But God says, "Come ye and buy." You don't have to have money to get what he wants to give you and what he's given those of us who have trusted him as Savior. God is not indifferent to the sorrows and sufferings and struggles of his people. Where there was bereavement, Jesus wept, according to John chapter 11, verse 35. Where there was suffering, he healed, Matthew 9:35. And it says there, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Well, then we see where there was weariness from excessive toil. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11:28. Now, God is not lacking in resources to meet human need. We look today and we see there's so much turmoil in our land and in our world. We see that in the money that so many people have invested, and now it's gone. People, once again, are wringing their hands, wondering what to do. But you know, God is not lacking in resources. In Psalm 50, in verse 12, it says, "The world is mine and the fullness thereof." And then in Haggai chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts." Psalm 50 and verse 10 says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills." You see, God is still in charge. It makes no difference what happens on this earth. God is still in charge. He still has control. And we often give the devil credit for being the prince and the power of the air. The Bible teaches us that. But that doesn't mean that we have to depend upon the things of this world to get by. We depend upon the Lord, and He will supply our needs. I'm a firm believer in that. Now, as we look at chapter 55 of Isaiah and verse 1 and the remaining verses here, we see that God is not primarily thinking of bread for the body in these verses, but He's thinking of bread for the soul. God is calling His people to higher ground in Isaiah 55, and in Isaiah 55, it spells out the alternatives of going to that higher ground. We see, first of all, the hunger that comes through disobedience. We see in disobedience, labor is fruitless. We can work our fingers to the bone, but disobedience is not sanctioned by God. In verse 2 of Isaiah 55, it says, "Wherefore do ye labor for that which satisfieth not?" Haggai 1:6 says, "Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes." It's just like a waste. Now, the only thing that's going to amount to anything in our lives is what we send on to heaven. One of those things that we send on to heaven is that lost soul that we can share the gospel with. That person that we share Jesus with. That person who received Jesus as their Savior. That's who and what we can send on to heaven ahead of us and put in the bank of heaven. Souls that needed to be saved, that got saved. We can also send ahead our funds that we earn while on this earth. There's nothing wrong with money. It's the love of money that is the problem. It's when we realize that God owns everything, including our money, then we share that with those people who are in need today. We do that through our local churches. We do that in helping this lost and dying world to realize that Jesus loves them. And through our efforts, they can see Jesus in our lives and therefore turn to Him when we say, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Acts chapter 16, verse 31 says that. We look on in this chapter, Isaiah 55, and we understand that disobedience, and in disobedience of money, is unavailing according to Isaiah 55. Notice verse 2, "Wherefore do you spend money for that which satisfieth not?" Now money, once again, is admittedly a power not to be despised. It enables the faithful steward of God to evangelize to the ends of the earth. It nourishes Christian enterprises which would cease to function without it. Money can buy physical comforts, but not bread for the soul. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 30, verse 20, "The rich fool amassed great wealth, but he lost his soul. Many a poor fool has come to the same sad ending without even the monetary satisfaction of amassed wealth." People strive for wealth. They strive, and it's a waste of time. God says that there will be some who are wealthy. Now, there's nothing wrong with having money because, as I've just mentioned, the work of God is empowered, is kept going by the finances of God's people. The work of God is not constrained or hindered by the lack of finances, though, but because God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. His primary concern for us today is that we have bread for the soul. We are blessed when we share what we have with other people and we give back to God what is rightfully His, the tithe. G. Campbell Morgan relates this, and he said he was a great preacher, and he says, as he relates this, he speaks of a woman that came to him. And this lady said, "I'm going to give myself to Christ and follow him. I have counted the cost," she says, "and I will possibly have to do some things that are distasteful to me, which means sacrifice and suffering." And he goes on to say later that her face beaming with joy and contentment, the lady told him, "Dr. Morgan, I said I would follow Christ no matter what. Everything has been so different from what I thought. I do what pleases me every day. The Lord has made me pleased with the things that please him." And that's the key. We do the things that God wants us to do. It pleases him and we're pleased because we're walking and we're doing the things that he wants us to do. Another person, Dr. Alan Redpath, says this: "The Christian life is not an up and down life, but an in and out life. In for orders, out for obedience, in for worship, out for witnessing, in for surrender, out for service." Well, there is satisfaction that comes through obedience, you see. It is not necessary to remain unfed. There is bread for the soul. In verse 3 of Isaiah 55, it says, "Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live." Verse 2 says, "Hearken diligently unto me." See, perhaps overfed and undernourished, you have tried every unsatisfactory substitute and are still uneasy, uneasily moving around like an accident going somewhere to happen. Well, it's not necessary to remain unforgiven. In verse 6 through verse 7, it talks about that. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." You see, the heaviest load of all is that of unconfessed, unremoved, unforgiven sin. The crushing burden of Christian in Pilgrim's Progress rolled from his shoulders. That came off of his shoulders when he came to the foot of the cross. "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2 says that. Has your sin been forgiven today? First of all, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you need to do so right now. If God speaks to your heart right now, right where you're at, let him come into your heart. Let him save you today. He was crucified, buried, and resurrected for you. He lives for you today. And because he lives, you can also live. You can pray something like this: "Lord Jesus, I know I can't save myself. I believe you died for me, and you rose from the grave for me. And I believe that you live for me today. And I'm trusting you to come into my heart and save me today. I'm trusting you, Lord, to save me right now." Now, God wants you to be saved. And if you'll pray a prayer something like that, the prayer's not going to save you, but Jesus will. But you need to pray and talk to him. He wants to hear you say things. He wants to hear you come to him and faith believing that he is the one who can save you. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that you, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, Romans 10:13. God can't, he can't lie. His word does not lie. "To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." He gives power through his Holy Spirit. Won't you come to him today? Trust him as your Lord and Savior. And Christian, you need to fill up on God's bread today. Get into his word. Study his word. And ask him what he would have you to do as a Christian in following him and doing what he wants you to do.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.